Attorney General sued the National Rifle Association, which is the most dominant gun lobby in the United States this week, asking that the entire organization be dissolved. The allegations are that the top executives at the NRA were using funds like a personal piggy bank, failing to serve the interest of its members. They're included in the allegations are the CEO, CFO, a general counsel, and another officer that $64 million were wasted in a three-year period. I want to discuss a little bit about not the politics of the NRA or whether this was politics in the making, but what is a nonprofit? What does it do? What does it have to do to qualify? What are the benefits? And when an organization is doing things like these allegations seem to indicate that they're doing, what is it that can be done, and can the NRA be dissolved? With us to talk about it is Ryan Oberle. He's a partner at Wagonmaker and Oberle. He represents a group of tax-exempt organizations, public charities, private foundations, nonprofits, and he is an adjunct professor. He taught a course at DePaul University College of Law on this very topic. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for having me.
So what kind of organization qualifies as a nonprofit?
So many people think a nonprofit is an entity that can't make a profit, but it's a legal entity that doesn't have shareholders. It holds assets in trust for a particular purpose, and that purpose can be quite broad. It could be a social club for their members, or it could be charitable and educational or religious, sort of the typical nonprofits that we traditionally think of.
So what benefits, if you qualify to be a nonprofit, what are the benefits to that organization?
Sure. Well, there are all sorts of different types of nonprofits. They make up a massive amount of our society, and it depends on what type of nonprofit you are. Each one has different advantages. Generally speaking, most of them are exempt from federal and state income tax, and then 501c3 organizations, a specific class, and a couple other classes also are able to receive charitable deductions, which enables the donor to deduct it for their income tax purposes as well.
And are there also postage privileges and what stuff like that, where it's not that it's free, but it's cheaper postage and things like that?
Yeah, when you talk about 501c3 organizations, they have all sorts of different benefits as well that play out. You know, grant opportunities, postage, credibility. There are all sorts of advantages, but that's for sort of the elite 501c3. That's the bulk of nonprofits. But what's fascinating about this NRA lawsuit is it's actually not a 501c3. It's a 501c4, which is an organization that's somewhat like a 501c3, but a c4 is actually organized for social welfare. It's still organized for the public at large, But it's not that sort of elite, charitable, educational, religious that we traditionally think of. It's a bit broader of a purpose.
So for our listeners out there who donate money to a charity, whether it's the United Way or the NRA for a cause or PETA or any organization, what should you expect if you are donating money to that cause? What are some of the things that should be happening within that organization that you can count on?
Sure. Well, the nice thing about most nonprofit organizations is that you can actually review their information returns, their Form 990s on the IRS website or GuideStar.org. And if you're a donor and you're interested in giving, that's the first place to really start. And you can start to look at how that organization spends money. A lot of the organizations, good organizations, will post their annual report on their website. And what you're looking for is the flow of funds. What you don't want to see is, individuals taking advantage of a charity. And that's exactly what's happening here.
So let's talk a little bit about the generalities, and then I want to get just into a little bit of what these allegations are. Obviously, we don't know if they're true yet, and we'll watch as this unfolds. But what rules does the organization have to follow? And let's talk a little bit about salaries, because this seems to be salaries and benefits to the CEO, CFO, the people who are in charge of these organizations. Is there some limit on what the organization can pay these people?
Yeah, there's not a per se limit, but remember, nonprofits are holding assets in trust for a particular purpose, and the goal is to use those assets for that purpose. Now, it requires employees, and oftentimes very skilled employees, who should be compensated fairly and appropriately. And sometimes, you know, you think of, you know, the head football coach of Notre Dame, that's a pretty distinguished and a very challenging position, and that person makes a lot of money.
Right.
So there are a lot of people who make a lot of money in nonprofits, and there's nothing wrong with that. What they look at, what the IRS looks at, and what state attorneys general look at is it reasonable based on the market and similar positions? And then also what the other thing that they don't want to see is they don't want to see an insider taking control of a nonprofit. A nonprofit, again, is supposed to be the assets are held in trust for those purposes. And ideally, you have a volunteer board that's independent and exercising oversight to make sure that those assets are being properly used.
So the IRS probably scrutinizes nonprofits, as do the attorneys general in the various states. Are those the kind of main the main supervision other than the boards of directors, which should be doing that as well?
Yeah, Karen, that's absolutely right. Those are the two main players. And unfortunately, over the last 10 or 15 years, the Congress has continued to dwindle the budget available for the IRS to actually regulate. And so what you're seeing is an increase in the state attorneys general role, who have always had able to exercise oversight. They are what we call the parents patriae, or the public guardian, to make sure those assets are held in trust or are properly used. But now they're really coming in to fill that void that the IRS's budget has basically cut the cost.
And when this news story came out, I heard a lot of people saying, oh my gosh, I've never heard of anything like this before. And it's happened before. The United Way, years ago, there was in the 1990s, I believe, the president was embezzling money. And he was convicted on 23 counts of embezzlement, tax fraud, and some other crimes. And he spent a good amount of time in jail. So, and also Catholic Cancer Fund of America had some issues. And so this is not a new thing that these attorneys general are scrutinizing and looking and making sure that the money that is being donated and being given to these organizations are being used appropriately. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That is the role of the attorney general. That is one of their duties. And, you know, certainly these cases have gone on for a long period of time, the last, you know, 70, 80 years, or lots of cases in every state. What's slightly unusual about this one is that New York views its charitable organizations a little bit broader. And so you have this 501c4 question that I mentioned earlier, which I think is a little unique. Only a few states regulate 501c4 organizations like charities, and New York's one of them.
Let me just ask you, I got 2 seconds here, but President Trump said, why don't you just disband and go to Texas, open up, and be a non-for-profit there? Could the NRA, in fact, do that?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the idea that the New York Attorney General can dissolve the NRA is that's a tall order. It certainly can kick these people out if these allegations are true, but to dissolve the corporation, I think, that's going to be a challenge.
Ryan Oberle, thank you so much for joining us. Ryan Oberle is a partner at Wagonmaker and Oberle. Thank you, and have a good rest of your afternoon.
Have a great day, Karen.
Thank you, and you're listening to The Karen Conti Show on WGN.